Father, we bow down before you, and you're always on time. So lead us now by your Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. In the 15 ascents, Psalm of the Ascents, or Songs of the Ascents here, you know, 2 weeks ago when we started out with 120, it was, "In my distress I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips." Really down. But now they're moving towards Jerusalem. Then the second one, last week, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Amen? And now today, we're rejoicing. "I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." I wanted to start with this familiar song, "The Holy City." Jerusalem is mentioned 815 times, I guess, in the Bible. And in Psalms, it's 17 times. And in our chapter today, 3 times. So we got 3 Jerusalems here today, and we have peace 3 times today. So we will be praying for the peace of Jerusalem in this sign, in this psalm. But I wanted to just think about the Holy City, which is such an awesome song, and thinking in terms of Jerusalem. There is the Jerusalem today. There will be the Jerusalem in the millennial reign differently. The temple will be built and Christ will be reigning in it. And then in the next to the last chapter, Revelation 21, most all of it is given to the new holy city, which is coming down where we will be eternally. So, all Jerusalem, but it is, there's things that will happen to it in the various things, like our bodies, right? These bodies are here in this flesh for now, but won't be that much longer. So let's just sing this with joy and listen to the words. And there's one major error I have here. This is the version by Andrew Rieu, R-I-E-U. This is the version by 3 tenors. I think they're from Ireland, I believe. I'm not sure. I don't know their names. But they have been given a gifted voice. So may we sing and pay attention to these words as we sing "The Holy City."
I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, me brought the voice of angels from heaven and where
as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill,
as the shadow.
Jerusalem, must change you earth has seen to be. I saw the holy city beside the Tiber sea. The light of God was on its feet, the gates were open wide.
End of that. End of the study. Let's go sing. What does Hosanna mean?
Save now.
Save now. Save now. Save now. Come from the same word as Jesus, really. Jehoshua, Jehovah saves. Hosanna. So we see now in Psalm 122, we have the joy of going to the house of the Lord. And so as we read these nine verses quickly and then go through them a little bit more slowly. But I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Isn't that a great psalm of ascent? As we see in the very first verse here, he is happy. And it says of David, and whether this is David or wouldn't be David, it would be just as important because it's the Spirit writing. But here I think the psalmist can be identified. I was glad when they said to me. And we know he was called a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? But he doesn't just say, let me go into the house of the Lord. He says what? Let us. That is so important, really, I think, as we think of ourselves as part of the body of Christ. It's not just me running around by myself, but we want to be glad to go into the house of the Lord. I pray we are. Our feet have been standing within your gates. So they're getting close as they've made this long trip to Jerusalem, and they're now inside the city within the gates, but they are now considering going into the house of God. Into within your gates, O Jerusalem. Verse 3, Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Especially in those days, it was really a very small city, really. You can still see the old walls today. And it was a tight-knit group. It was a tight-knit city. It had walls around it. In fact, it had three walls around it for protection. And it's not spread out all over the place. Now, Mind you, in those days, it was primarily made of tents. So it wouldn't have been the big limestone monuments that we see today there. But it's compact. It's clustered together where the tribes go up. And of course, the 12 tribes of Israel represent all of Israel in that time, in that way. The tribes of what? Of Jehovah, of Yahweh, the tribes of the Lord. We know that Israel is God's wife in the Old Testament. To the testimony of Israel, what's the testimony? Well, I had to look it up because I wasn't quite sure. It's used 60 times in the Bible, the words "the testimony." It's used 7 times in the New Testament. None of them are capitalized because there they stand for the word "witness." The gospel is the testimony, right? This is the testimony we read in 1 John. What? That we are children of God, and by this we know that we have salvation because we believe in Him. That's the testimony of God. So that's the witness of God. But the original testimony here in the Old Testament was the Ten Commandments. Remember, the Ark of the Covenant had the testimony in it, and it says the two tablets, he said, to put the testimony in the Ark of the Covenant, what Moses was commanded. But it really means the divine presence of God is really what I think why it's capitalized here, to the testimony of Israel. So where is the testimony of Israel? Well, it is in the temple. In those days, it was in the tabernacle. There was no temple yet when this was written. Solomon will build the first temple. Solomon hadn't come on the scene yet at this point. Well, maybe he was on the scene, but he hadn't built the temple yet. So, to the testimony of Israel, why are they coming there? The tribes grow up to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Have you given thanks this morning yet to the name of the Lord? For thrones are set there for judgment. That's, in other words, that's where the Supreme Court is, so to speak. There are judges there. Now, this is a whole other series when you start thinking of the future Jerusalem and so forth. It's not just a bunch of men sitting around, but it's God Himself. But the thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. So this is the headquarters of Israel, Jerusalem. The Bible has been called the tale of the two cities, Babylon and Jerusalem, but Jerusalem is the main thing. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. And we know that there'll be no peace until Jesus returns, right? And we're getting close, aren't we? It just seems to me like everything we look at, we need to look at, this may be the last time. This may be the last Saturday. I just had a birthday this last week. It may be my last birthday, one way or the other. And I'm thankful for health. I'm thankful for we can get together and meet and still, you know, have some memory. And I mean, I think my mind is as good as it ever was. It never was that great, but the Lord blesses, you know. So we thank Him for that. But pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We see 25 times in Psalms the word peace. We have it 3 times right here in this chapter. So this is a heavy-duty chapter for peace in Jerusalem. So the psalmist is going to pray for peace 3 times here. First, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Secondly, peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces, for the sake of my brethren and companions. So are you praying for the peace of Jerusalem? I'm sure you are, at least if you're even praying the model prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the peace that's going to come, not before then. But how about peace for the sake of your brethren and companions? Are you praying for peace? We were commenting this week on the noise in the world. There's so much noise. And if you assemble with people, let's say, as an example, in the mall or in maybe a fancy restaurant, there's just a high level of noise there. It's just noise. It's not really pleasing to me. It's just like we feel like aliens, right? But when you get alone with the Lord and it quiets down, that is so wonderful. So there's such a need for peace, and particularly in the Christian's life right now, because it's easy to get off on the tangent of wickedness, of deception, and all of that. We should be aware of it, but we should maintain that peace because we've won because of what he's done, right? Now, we can't be at peace with the lost all around us. That part, I don't think that's what we're talking about here. But we can be at peace praying that we know if they come to the Lord, they will be saved, right? We know what saves people, but we can't save them. But we pray for the peace, it says here, for the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. So I say to you, peace be within you. We say to one another, peace be within us. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. So this is all about going to the house of the Lord. It's all about his house, and we have access to it. We have, if you remember, any of you in the Matthew study, when Jesus sent out the 12 apostles, he gave them the exousia, is the word in the original language there. That is not what was given out on the day of Pentecost. Exousia is the authority of being his child. So we have power given to us when we're his, because we're his child. But now there was another thing given to the church the 50 days after the resurrection, and that was Pentecost, and that is the dunamis. The dunamis is the power of the Holy Spirit, which is even a greater power, right? Enabling us to do things that we can't just do with the exousia. So, John the Baptist, I believe, had the exousia to a degree, but we're greater than he because what? We have even more power, and we have the fulfillment of the gospel, which he never saw. He didn't see Jesus resurrected from the dead. At least he could see it probably in his heart, maybe, but not. We can look back and see the resurrection is done, accomplished, power over sin and power over death, over the grave, and then even the ascension. That is the proof by which God says this is the repentance and this is the position and so forth that I will receive as righteousness in heaven. And that was, we can see that because it's been done 2,000 years ago for us, where the psalmist was never able to see that because it hadn't happened yet. But we see the importance of praying for one another. We see the importance for focusing on where we're going and where we're going to spend eternity. This is, talk about a tour. This is a long tour that we're going on, right? Forever, eventually. And the Jerusalem will be amazing when we see Christ returning, and the Mount of Olives will split and so forth. And then the new temple will be built. Christ will rule and reign in it. We'll start sacrifices again, if you can believe it. Not the sacrifice of the redemption that's already happened. But we will see the sacrifice of praising and worshiping the way we should. So I thought maybe I should turn mine off, but if it was on, then anyway, let's go on. So we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and pray for the peace of one another, and we pray. That's the one thing in these last days that we all should be doing more and more. Because as joyful as we are about where we're going and the holy city of being there forever, there's an entrance ticket you have to get into that city and to get into the millennial reign city, or to get to be eternally period with our Lord, and that is the belief in him. And so we can't save anybody, but we can pray for their salvation. And so we want to be, as we look at people many times now, I think it's easier to say, this may be the last chance I'll get to tell them about the Lord. Because one day it will be, whether it's today or this week, I don't know, but we're getting closer, and one day it will be, so may we redeem the time. This will be the last day of September the 18th, 2021, you will have to tell somebody about the Lord, or to show somebody that you are the Lord's, and this is what a Christian's life looks like. And that's really your true testimony of strength. People want to be like what they see if it's good. They don't want to be like what they see if it's not good or doesn't ring true, you know. So you can recite, if you're not really having a Christian life, the words of the Lord will not be he received, probably with any power at any rate. So we have these precious moments this morning to pray. So we pray with thanksgiving, and we pray for his will to be done. And we pray recognizing that all the things going on in the world, it's just a better time to witness than ever before. We've got, as you know, international fear pretty much of a pestilence. It's really not much of a pestilence. Don't get me wrong. It's effective in infections. Thousands of people get infected, but the mortality rate is not like the cholera or like the bubonic plague or any of those terrible plagues that have come in the past. It's just kind of a wake-up call, isn't it? But it's universal. It's universal. And so everybody around the world is afraid, preparing us all for the Antichrist that don't know the Lord, right? That's what this is all pointing to, it seems to me. But what a time to give the only solution to fear, and that is Jesus Christ. And you've got it. So if you want to call that a vaccine, you've got it. The real vaccine. A disease that's 100% fatal, that's sin. And Jesus Christ is the 100% cure, if you will, for freeing us from sin forever, right? Isn't that good news? Think of the good news we have. And are we going to carry that around, hiding it? I don't want to let anybody see this good news, I hope. Father, we thank you for this glorious psalm. We thank you for the joy of going to your house. And here we are in a sense, your house. And we're here with you and with one another. So may we pray as you would lead us this morning in these moments together in Jesus' name. So let's pray. We have prayed to Jerusalem. Let's go to the one who is our peace.
He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace.
Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you.
Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you that you are our peace. Lord, I pray you would just fill each one with your spirit throughout this day, Lord, a day at a time. We would be finishing well, Lord. And you will find faith in each of us when you return. And Lord, sharpen our hearts and minds to pray for those around us who do not know you yet. We have won because of what you have done. And your blood has been shed for all sins, now and forevermore, but the gift must be received, Lord. So only you can do that. We can't, but help our witness to be a strong testimony today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.